Sometimes life can seem like a desert. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how God's Holy Spirit can bring streams of refreshing to our desert experience.
If you are going to be a yielded Christian, this idea of being popular with the world and Joe Cool with the world must be put aside. Sometimes you will be rejected by the world where you live. Your lifestyle, because it is Christ-like, is going to sometimes cause you rejection within the world, and people will not appreciate the way you live.
Are you facing a difficult situation, as though you are in the middle of a dry, parched desert? In our series, Streams of Refreshing, we will explore the desert experiences of great Bible characters. Each message will remind you that God is mightily at work, even during times of dryness and difficulty. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In every desert experience, God sends streams of refreshment to restore your soul and renew your strength for the journey ahead. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Yielded to God.
God doesn't say to Abraham, I'm going to send you to such and so place. He says, I just want you to start moving, Abraham. I just want you to head in the right direction. By the way, did you know that God cannot steer a parked car? Did you know that He wants us by faith to go ahead and put it in drive and to allow Him to take the steering wheel and to begin giving direction in our lives? And so God says, Abraham, I'm not even going to tell you immediately where you're going to go, but I want you to go ahead and be ready and be yielded. How many of you know that if God were to show you every experience of your life before it happened, and every place that you would have ever gone, and every challenge that you would have ever had, that you would have sat still and never been anywhere in your life? Because the fact of the matter is that we do not always want to trust God ahead of time. God says, I want you to go, Abraham. I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. Now, notice a few things about Abraham's journey. First, he was willing to go alone. He was willing to go alone. God says, I want you to get out of your country and from your kindred. In other words, if no one else goes with you, I want you to be that yielded. Did you know that sometimes living a yielded life may mean living a lonely life? Sometimes God's men in the Bible were men who had to be willing to leave their comfort zone in order to be yielded unto God. The Bible says in the words of Jesus, Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I don't know what your cross may be, but sometimes it may be the rejection of people that you've known. And Abraham had to be willing to go alone, like Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that they served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so Abraham was a man who was willing to go it alone. Secondly, Abraham was a man who went by faith. And whatever you do in your life that will please God, it will be by faith. Abraham had to be willing to go, not knowing where the destination ultimately would be. I believe one of the reasons that God did not tell Abraham was because God wanted him to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, faith is the daring of the soul to go farther than it can see. And there are times in our lives when we must step out by faith, because it is only at those times when God will truly receive honor and glory. For example, in our building programs, we try to count the cost and do our best. But every time we've ever put the shovel in the ground and started a building, we've always known, God, if you don't provide, then we're not sure how it's going to be done. You see, friend, if we can figure it all out up front, then God doesn't get glory from that. But when we put our faith and confidence in Him, then He receives honor and glory for the fact that we were yielded to Him from the beginning to the end. And so Abraham was willing to go alone. He was willing to walk by faith. And I want you to see, thirdly, Abraham believed that God would bless him. Abraham believed that God would bless him. Now notice what it says there in Genesis 12:2. God says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. How many of you know that the nation of Israel is a very strong nation, and that through this nation and through this people, God has blessed the entire world today? You say, well, how do you mean that, Pastor? Well, for example, we have today a Bible through the Jewish people. We have today a Savior through the line of David. We have a soon coming Savior because of the promise given to David. And so God says, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to head out. I want you to know that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I want you to follow me by faith. I think back to the early days of our church here. We pulled into Lancaster and began ministry. And I remember the first bulletin article I ever wrote. And in that bulletin article, I simply wrote a letter to our church that said, I believe that today will be the beginning of a long and fruitful ministry. Someone says, Pastor, how could you have written that? You didn't know where the journey would take you. You didn't know where the church would meet. You didn't know how the needs would be met. No, but I knew this, that when God's word is preached, it will not return unto himself void. And that if we would faithfully preach the word of God in season and out of season, that God would bless. You see, Abraham followed God even when he didn't know where the journey was going to take him. I want to challenge some of you this morning not to worry so much about the destination, but to be concerned that you are yielded to God every day of the journey, and he will guide your steps, and he will direct your path. Well, let's look at another person today in the Bible. Her name is Hannah, and I want you to let Hannah step out and testify to you this morning about having a yielded life. 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you want to look at Hannah's life, you'll find, of course, that she's the mother of Samuel. But when we first meet Hannah in the Bible, she's not the mother of Samuel at all. In fact, she has not had a man-child or a son, and her heart is heavy about that. And I want you to jot down in your notes what we learn from Hannah's life. Hannah followed God without knowing when he would bless her. Some of you are waiting for a spouse to be saved. Some of you are waiting for a family member to come back to the Lord, and you're wondering when. And I want to challenge you to be yielded to God today, even though you don't know when these things will come to pass. Hannah yielded to God without knowing when he would bless her. Now look at the story of Hannah's life, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11 in your notes there. The Bible says that she's praying to the Lord, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. In other words, she was going to dedicate her son to the service of the temple, and eventually he would become the first prophet of the children of Israel, who would anoint David as the king over all of Israel. Now learn a few lessons from Hannah this morning. Notice first of all that she prayed in faith. She prayed in faith. She was a woman who was willing to trust God to provide her for a son. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see, my friend, no matter what you do in this life, when it comes to God and your relationship with God, it's going to be faith that pleases him. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Hannah prays in faith. And notice, secondly, she promises in faith. She gives God a promise that if he provides for her, she will honor him. Now, I trust that you can say from your heart, God, as you provide for me, I'm going to honor you with that substance. And she promises in faith. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 11. If you will give to me a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. That's the promise that she made. God, if you'll provide this son, I will give him to you. Similarly to how we have trusted God in various prayer requests as a church. Lord, would you provide for us in a building program or in a missions program or providing a job for someone in the church? And Lord, when you do, we're going to honor you for what you have done for us. By the way, I believe that God honored Hannah because he knew that she would keep her vow. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. And I believe that when Hannah said, God, I'm going to give my son back to you. God knew her heart, and God blessed her prayer according to the veracity of her prayer request and of her heart being truthful with God. And so we see Abraham. He was a man who said, God, I'm going to yield to you. Even though I don't know where you're taking me, I'm going to be yielded to you. We see Hannah. She said, God, I'm going to yield myself to you. Even though I don't know when you'll answer this prayer request, I know that you will. And I pledge myself and my future son to you. Let's look at a third character this morning, perhaps one of our favorites in the Bible, and that's Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to turn there to Luke chapter 1. As you turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse number 30, about Mary. Here was a woman totally yielded to God, a woman who had given herself as a yielded vessel unto him. And I want you to jot down on your notes this morning this fact about Mary. Mary trusted God without knowing how God would work. Mary trusted God without knowing how God would work. Now let's look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. May I just stop and say, in this ecumenical hour where so-called Christians are holding hands on one side with Muslims and on another side with Hindus, may we be reminded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if we compromise that, we might as well close the doors today, because the cornerstone of our faith is that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God and the Redeemer of the world, and may we stand true to that principle. The Bible says in verse 33, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, my friends, were it not for the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary, were it not for the fact that the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary and that Jesus Christ was born as the Son of God, then when he died on the cross and shed his blood, there would be no atonement for our sin today. For if Jesus were just another man or just another prophet, then the atoning on the cross would be null and void. But because he was the Son of God, and because flowing through his blood lines was not the blood of another man, not the blood of the Adamic race, but the very blood of the Son of God. When the blood was shed, it was sufficient for the covering of our sin. For without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. Yet imagine yourself as Mary for a moment, a young maiden, a pure and young and holy woman, and yet she's being told that she would give birth to the Son of God. I dare say that she was overwhelmed and did not understand exactly how this would take place. How would the angel explain the Holy Ghost coming upon her? What PowerPoint presentation would have made it clear? I would say to you, it was something that she would not understand by science. It was something she would not understand by some mathematical equation. There was only one way that Mary was going to trust God, and that was by faith. And the Bible says in verse 38, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I'd like you to read that verse with me. Luke 1:38. Ready, begin. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Think of that phrase. Be it unto me according to thy word. Two things we learn about Mary's yieldedness. First, she heard the word of God. Mary heard the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we will be men and women who are totally yielded to God, then we must come to the house of God, we must open the word of God daily, and we must hear God. But notice secondly, she submitted to the word of God. She was one who was willing to submit. And the word submit means to lay down your arms and quit fighting. Ma'am, what are you fighting God about today? Sir, what are you fighting God about today? What is it today that you need to say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. You have said in your word that I am to forgive others even as God has forgiven me. Lord, I'm going to do what you say in your word. Lord, you have taught me to love the brethren, and I'm willing to do what you've taught me to do. You've commanded me to go and witness. You've commanded me to love your word. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She submitted to the word of God. How we thank God for Mary. She didn't know how God would accomplish this, but she yielded herself anyways to the will of God. Abraham, I want you to go to a place. I'm not even going to give you the address. I'm not going to tell you where, Abraham. I just want you to yield. Hannah, I'm not going to tell you when. I just want you to believe. Mary, I'm not going to have time to explain how. You're just going to have to believe and yield yourself to me. I want to show one more to you this morning. One of my favorites in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Joseph. Many of you knew about Joseph, and Joseph was the son of Israel or Jacob. Joseph was the baby of the family, we might say. And I want you to see in your notes there that Joseph yielded to God without knowing why trials came. Without knowing why trials came. Now, sometimes people yield to God as long as there's overtime, as long as there's good family relations, as long as there's this or that. But boy, when the trials come, it's difficult for them to stay yielded. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church, and they want to quit, and they want to leave. And all of a sudden, they're not as yielded as they once were because some trials have come. Genesis 37, notice in verse 5, the Bible says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Now think about Joseph for a moment. Here he is, the younger brother, and he has a dream, and the essence of the dream is like this. He says, "One day, all of you, my other brothers, are going to bow down to me." Now, how many of you know that's a dangerous dream for a younger brother to say to his older brothers? Older brothers like to torture younger brothers. And these brothers took it literally. They got so mad at Joseph. Why? Dad had given him the coat of many colors, and he was Dad's favorite in the beginning place. And now he's saying that one day we're going to bow down to him. And so notice what they do to their younger brother. The Bible tells us that he believed God even when he was rejected. They reject their younger brother. Notice Genesis 37, verse 20. They say, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Here he is rejected of his own brethren, much like our Savior was. And they take Joseph and they throw him into a pit where he is ultimately sold into slavery into Egypt's land. And I want you to mark down in your mind very clearly, if you are going to be a yielded Christian, this idea of being popular with the world and Joe Cool with the world must be put aside. If you're going to be a yielded Christian today, sometimes you will be rejected by the world where you live. Your lifestyle, because it is Christ-like, is going to sometimes cause you rejection within the world, and people will not appreciate the way you live. I remember our first week here, I alluded to it a moment ago. We got in front of the church there, and back then there was a sign in front of the church downtown. It said Antelope Valley Church Center. And so I took a screwdriver and I took that sign down, and I went down to a sign shop and I made a new sign that said Lancaster Baptist Church. And I said to my wife, if this town knows anything a few years from now, they're going to know that there's an old-fashioned Bible-preaching Baptist church downtown. And we put that sign up. Did you know the very next night someone came by with rocks and threw rocks through the brand new sign and broke it all to pieces? The next day, I went downstairs to the basement in that old building, and I decorated a little office for myself, had some shelves for my books, and had my certificate of ordination, my college degree, and some things on the wall. And I was proud of that little office. I was so happy to have it. That very night, someone came into the church, and they broke in and took all the books down, threw them down, took all the things off the wall, poured red Kool-Aid all over everything. It was the devil's welcome wagon. A few days later, someone came in and took the microphone from our sound system. I needed it for all 12 people. You need a sound system, you know, and they stole that. Boy, I tell you what, I was learning right from the get-go that if you're going to be yielded to God, there will be some testings that will come. And the faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And one of the reasons that God is giving you a trial in your life, and one of the reasons you're going through some rejection in your life, is because God has a greater usefulness for you, and God has a greater plan for your life. And yet Joseph, even when he was rejected of his brethren, he kept the right spirit, and he stayed yielded unto the Lord. I want you to see, secondly, he believed God even when he was tempted. The Bible tells us in Genesis 39 that Joseph was now in Potiphar's house, a very powerful man in Egypt, and Joseph is overseeing much of the goods of this man's house. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse 7 in your notes that Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and said to him, "Come and lie with me." The Bible tells us that he refused her and he said, "I cannot commit this sin," verse number 9, "and this great wickedness and sin against God." The Bible tells us that Potiphar's wife took Joseph's coat and she kept it. And by the way, thank God that though he lost his coat, he kept his character. Thank God that he resisted the trial and the temptation. The Bible says then that she falsely accuses him. And Genesis 39 and verse 20 says that Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. And here we see a man who, because of his yieldedness to God, all he did was tell the dream. That's all he did. All he did was try to be faithful to God, like a faithful soul winner who tells about Jesus. And because of that, here is a man who's rejected. Here is a man who is tempted, and yet he kept the right spirit. He stayed yielded to God. And towards the end of his life, he has this opportunity where, guess what happens? Just according to the prophecy of God, here comes his brothers. His daddy sent them back to Egypt to get food. And he reveals himself to his brothers. And look at what he says to them in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Listen, my friend, if you will stay yielded to God, even when people shoot at the mouth against you, even when friends or family say, "You're an idiot, you go to church too much. What do you mean you give money to that church? What do you mean you threw away your rock and roll albums? What is wrong with you?" they say. And they begin to ridicule you. The Bible says that what they mean for evil, God means for good. And God will take the tough times, and Romans 8:28 will come to pass. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And Joseph says, "Hey, you guys thought you were hurting me, but I stayed yielded to God, and God meant it for good." Now, I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you yielded to God? Ma'am, what is it that you fight your husband on and as he's trying to lead you? Sir, what is it that your wife has a heart for God in this area and you're just holding back? What area are you not yielded to God in today? What are you the type of Christian that has to know where, when, how, and why? God, you show me where this is taking me and I'll go to the altar and go ahead and make the decision. God, you show me when you're going to solve the problem and I'll start coming to church more faithfully. God, you show me how you're going to accomplish this, and then I'll yield to you. God, you show me why I'm having this pain in my life, and then I'll yield to you. I want you to know, my friend, the heart of worship is a yielded heart. And God is looking today for Christians who will yield to him irrespective of the circumstances and will trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I wonder, friend, have you ever yielded to God as it concerns the salvation of your soul? Have you ever come to the place where you realize that as a sinner, you could not forgive yourself? And so you came to the Lord in repentance and you said, "Lord, I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my life. I yield myself to you today. Lord, I ask you to be my Savior." I wonder, have you had a time in your life where you've made that decision to trust Christ as your Savior? Have you yielded yourself to him in salvation? Because if you haven't, today you can make that decision. You can receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior even this morning and leave this place knowing that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your home. And if you have already made that decision, then whatever area of your life you need to yield in today, would you realize the idiotic way of a man who says, "No, Lord," because in saying that, you're really saying he's not your Lord. Would you realize that a yielded Christian always says, "Yes, Lord"? Would you say those two words with me this morning? Yes. One more time.
Yes.
And when God speaks to your heart this morning about whatever the issue, whether it's salvation, whether it's baptism, whether it's faithfulness to church, church membership, whatever it is, when God begins to speak to your heart, I don't want you to say yes to a church or yes to a pastor, but oh, more than anything, how I challenge you to say, "Yes, Lord."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.